let's get ourselves ready here and go into prayer. Purpose of the prayer. Okay, what is today? 18? Huh? This is the 17th of December, 03, and we're studying stress, anxiety, and depression, and we're getting into some really good points in the recovery and putting stress, anxiety, and depression into the shadows of your life, coming out of it. So let's begin with the word of prayer. The purpose of the prayer is that the Spirit can open our eyes and our ears to the things that He would have us to see and hear in regard to the truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what an awesome God You are when we consider that not only did You have compassion and mercy on us when we were Your enemies and destitute and eternal separation from You, and You did all that was necessary for us to have a relationship with You and be reconciled with You. But it isn't Your mercy and Your love doesn't stop there. You care about us as believers. You are not pleased when believers are stressed and depressed and tormented in life in Satan's kingdom of darkness. This does not please You. And You have done, Heavenly Father, everything necessary in grace and in love so that believers do not have to be in that stress and depression. And just as when we were unbelievers, if believers will come and claim by faith what You have offered, You remove these inner fortresses inside our souls and lives. So, Father, we pray now that Your Spirit will open our eyes and our ears to how You do it. How can a person be without stress and depression without changing the circumstances of their life? With nothing changing overtly, but a miracle performed inside. Pray that Your Spirit will show us. I pray again, Heavenly Father, that these tapes will get into the hands of those who will listen, who hurt, who are antagonized by these fortresses, inner powers of darkness, Heavenly Father, that pull them down, suck away from them life, that they will respond to the truth that You've given to us. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. We have moved to the 29th thing that You have in Jesus Christ, and these are the things that You have that will cause you to be restored and pull out of stress, anxiety, and depression. And we started this one last week, and we just got through a couple of things, so we'll quickly jump into that part. And number 25 is who you are in the Holy Spirit. Not only are you in Jesus Christ, as we've seen, you're in God the Father. The God the Father is in you. You are in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is in you. You're in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's in you. And we looked at verses that deal with that. But now, point 29, I wanted to pull out and make separate because it deals just with your relationship with the third member of the Godhead. Because this is the one that you and I have immediate relationship and rapport with. It's God the Holy Spirit. Here's our immediate Lord who takes us to our Lord Jesus Christ, who takes us to our Lord God the Father. And so I wanted to zero in on this one in coming out of stress, anxiety, and depression. Not only are you in the Holy Spirit and is the Holy Spirit in you, but you have several other vital relationships with Him. And this is what we're looking at. This is how you and I can overcome stress, anxiety, and depression, sad, in your life. And we noted last week, first of all, you are born of the Holy Spirit. Prepositional phrases are important here. Born of the Holy Spirit. And that's in Gospel of John 3:6. Then we noted that you are baptized with the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Then you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Point C. You are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Mark 1:8. I baptize you with water, but He, Jesus Christ, will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Gospel of John 1:33. Acts chapter 11, verse 16. And that brings us to the next one now. And that is, in your relationship with the Holy Spirit, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, this is important, because a lot of times when Christians are going through things that will cause them to be in stress and depressed about their life, more than likely you will run into Christians who will doubt your salvation. Or maybe you really weren't saved because of the things that have happened to you. They're like Job's three friends, because of the things that have happened to you or the things that you have done. And you might even begin to doubt your own security in Christ. Well, people, let me tell you something right now. No matter what your condition is tonight, while you're listening to this on tape or the internet, or however you're listening to it, that you are sealed in the Holy Spirit. Sometimes believers suffer sad, and circumstances are difficult due to your sins and failures. Just the circumstances of life that have nothing to do with sins and failures, believers begin to doubt that you're saved. And maybe you've lost it somehow. Maybe you never had it. And maybe you never were saved in the first place. Well, put your soul to rest. You are saved. And when you were saved by faith in Jesus Christ, you have been sealed with an unbreakable seal: God the Holy Spirit. Turn with me, because this is important if you're hurting. If you're hurting so much and you just wonder, wow, am I really in this thing with God? Look with me at Ephesians chapter 4. Very important passages we're going to look at tonight. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. We're going to look at a couple of different passages, not really dwell on them, but give them something for you to think about as we think about your relationship with God the Holy Spirit. So first of all, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Of God means that he sent of God. By whom, that is, the Holy Spirit, you were sealed for the day of redemption. So you are set aside. You are sealed for that. Now I want to deal with very quickly with one thing. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. There are two words, two exhortations. Grieve not and quench not the Holy Spirit. Very quickly, and this is oversimplification, but it'll give you a little grip on it. To grieve the Holy Spirit is when we sin. When we right out commit a sin, we grieve the Holy Spirit. When we refuse to walk by faith and we go into sin, we grieve Him. However, what is quench the Holy Spirit? Quench the Holy Spirit is when you refuse to be led of the Holy Spirit. How many times in a Christian's life call this person comes into your mind, and you know you're in the Spirit, you know you're walking in the Spirit, call this person, write this person, give this money, do this, do that, pray, do something. And you, for whatever reason, no, I'm too busy, they won't listen to me, and if I did call them, or whatever it may be, you've just quenched him. He has reached in, and he has given you this desire or thought to do something, and you said no. The best way I know why it's called quench, it's like if a husband comes home from work and the wife reaches out to him and touches his hand amorously, romantically, and because of whatever, we'll just say the whole problems of the day, and he just has a different attitude, and he brushes her off, no! And she pulls her hand back quickly, like it had been in a fire. She pulls it back, quenched. That's what we do to the Holy Spirit. And you have to go back into faith and get back into the Holy Spirit. Now turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians 1:21. What we're looking at, though, is that you are sealed. Even when you quench and grieve, you do not lose your sealing. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, or excuse me, 2nd. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, powerful chapter. I have decided that somewhere along the line we're going to do chapters of the Spirit-filled life. I need to do that, and I'm just going to put together a compilation of great chapters of the Bible of the Spirit-filled life. And 1 Corinthians 1 and 2 are pivotal. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 1, 21. Now, he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God. So God has established us, established you in Christ, and anointed us in God, who also sealed us and gave us the Holy Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. Okay. Today we're not all that familiar with the word sealed. Seal was a guarantee of a transaction. The transaction of your eternal salvation is the seal or the signature of the Holy Spirit by God. I guess the closest we have today in a concept is, okay, the bottom line, sign your name. So you sign your name. That's like you're sealed in that sense. And that's what they would use in ancient history. They had a seal, the king's seal, or someone had a seal. And so God put a seal on you, and that is the Holy Spirit. Secondly, a seal was used as identification of ownership. Identification of ownership. Sealing of the Holy Spirit is identification of ownership by God. And other humans cannot see this sealing. This is very important. Others will not be able to see this sealing, but God sees it. God sees it. You are saved eternally, so don't ever allow others, or even in your own soul, think that you're not saved. You're sealed by God. You belong to Him, and you can't lose it. So you belong to Him. So if you're hurting, just rest. You belong to God. No matter what others may do, because of your circumstances that brought on your SAD, you belong to God. Thirdly, the seal denotes authenticity. The seal denotes authenticity. What does that mean? To establish something or someone as guaranteed. Believer, there is nothing in your life that denotes that one is a genuine believer. There's nothing that we know, nothing that we can tell if someone is truly a believer in Jesus Christ. The sealing is on the inside. Now, if you want to have the authenticity of this verified in your life, that's walking in the Spirit. We can never say someone is saved or not saved. We do not have that place. We do not have those eyes to look and see if they have the sealing of the Holy Spirit. What we can do, though, is look like James did and said, you're not walking in the Spirit. You're not walking by faith in the Spirit. How do I know that? Because the greatest manifestation of walking in the Spirit, the greatest manifestation of faith, is love. James, Paul, in Galatians chapter 5. Nothing is more important than the faith expressing itself in love. So if we do not see that love, then I do not know whether or not you're a believer or not, but we do know one thing. You're not walking in the power of the Spirit of the living God. And yes, it is possible for a person to spend almost their entire life as born-again believers and not walk in the Spirit. In fact, I think that's more common than almost anything else, because I think a lot of times that we'll just take really nice Christians that look moral on the outside, look like they know a lot of Bible doctrine, have charismatic experiences, or serve God, are not doing it in the power of the Spirit, but in the flesh. So we look at them and say, well, that's where a Christian would act. Well, that may be the way a Christian would act. Whether or not it is of the power of the Spirit or not, we don't know. I hope before leaving planet Earth that every Christian gets to experience 5 minutes of walking in the power of the Spirit. Now, I certainly hope for a lot more than that, but I hope that my wish would be that every Christian could experience at least 5 consecutive moments of walking in the power of the Spirit. But this is the authenticity, is that you are the sealed by the Holy Spirit. So if you want to experience it in your life, that's walk by faith in the Spirit. Spiritual love authenticates that you are a believer in Christ, walking in the power of the Spirit. But we have to be careful here. And what I want you to understand is you are sealed with the Holy Spirit the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, and you cannot lose that. Okay, let's go to E, the next thing, in dealing with your personal relationship. A lot of people have to understand some things about their relationship with Jesus Christ. I want you to understand in your hurting moments and dealing with all of this, I want you to understand your relationship with a third member of the Godhead. And the next thing I want to look at is something that's going on inside of you. You are indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. You are indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. You now know that Jesus Christ is in you. But what is said of the Holy Spirit is not said in your relationship with Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit indwells you. It's not said of the Holy Spirit, it is said of Jesus Christ. He indwells you. The presence of Jesus Christ in your inside of you is really dependent upon your fellowship with the Holy Spirit. But the Bible is very clear. The Holy Spirit indwells you. It's part of who and what you are. You cannot lose the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He is inside of you. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I was motivated the other day. I was driving back from Arkansas, where I went up to teach last weekend. I was driving back Saturday morning, and I want to tell you about Saturday morning radio driving from Arkansas into Texas. About every third, or if not every other, every third station is some kind of Bible Christian station. It's either gospel music or preaching. It's charismatics. It's this or that. But I heard one man that kind of motivated me. He went through the entire book of Romans in less than 3 minutes. And while his outline, I went, well, okay, I can do some stuff with that. But boy, he really gave you a handle and a proper one. And I thought, you know, I need to do that with some of the books of the Bible. I need to give my people a handle so that they have a grip of what the books are about. And so that was pretty fascinating. But anyway, let's look now. We're dealing with the indwelling of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. And I was thinking about that because Corinthians is such a difficult book to outline, especially 2 Corinthians. Paul just seems to roam around from one subject to another. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God? That's the Holy Spirit. It's Holy Spirit. Do you not know, and you're going to know it now, that your physical body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you? The Holy Spirit is inside of that temple. Whom Holy Spirit you have from God, and that you are not your own. Why do Christians have a sense of failure? Why do Christians suffer stress, anxiety, and depression? Because stress, anxiety, and depression comes you trying to live as though you were your own. You look at life. Now listen to me if you're hurting. You look at life from who and what you think of yourself. The way you ought to be according to your view. But once you begin to start realizing that you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that you are not your own, that is, that your life is not yours, then living by faith is much easier. Living by faith is more difficult the more you want things your way. The more the way you think things ought to be, the more difficult it will be for you to walk by faith. Paul used a lot of personal examples. I don't do it very often. One of the most important things that happened to me in my assembly, dropped down in number significantly. And so in my mind, I think, okay, there ought to be more. And that would weigh heavy. The moment that I decided, okay, that's up to God. That's not up to me. What I've got to do is study and prepare as though I were teaching a large number congregation, auditorium, or just a few. If I slack off because it's a few, then that's my problem. And so you can get an idea. I ought to be living. Let me get on some things. I ought to be living in this status of a house. I ought to be wearing these kinds of clothes. I ought to have this kind of influence. I ought to be able to do this on a vacation. I ought to be able to buy this or that for Christmas. I ought to be able to do that. I ought to look a certain way. I ought to... The more we hold on to life as though it were our own, let me just tell you what, you're setting yourself up for stress, anxiety, and depression. And you're going to keep seeking to do those and gain those things. As soon as you can let go and realize that you are not your own, and that you belong to Him, and He can do with you whatever He pleases, and you just trust Him, it'll be easier to walk by faith. The more you live for yourself, the more difficult it is to live by faith. The more you live unto who and what He is, the easier it is to live by faith. The more you live yourself according to your plan, is the potential of stress, anxiety, and depression in your life. Your life is not yours. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? The Holy Spirit is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own. This is vital in those of you who like to pray, and I pray and I hope that you all do. Praying for other people. If I know that someone is a believer and know that inside of that person is the Holy Spirit, I can pray that God will cause the Holy Spirit to so convict, agitate that person's soul. It is so much easier. The prayer is so different for the functioning working of the Holy Spirit on a believer, whoever they may be. During, and even some sense, but during the presidency of Bill Clinton, Christians that I and me would always just cast such disdain on him and judgments and ridicules and thought that I was a little wrong and that I didn't. People, every time I would hear one, it would shoot through me. This is a believer in Christ. And I would go into prayer. And boy, I just sick the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would so convict. I haven't seen any answering of that prayer that I'm aware of. But that doesn't change the fact of my prayer. And so, if you have the Holy Spirit, if you're a believer and you have the Holy Spirit in you, people, you have God residing inside of you. Look with me at the Gospel of John, chapter 7. Gospel of John, chapter 7. Let's look at that. And if you're hurting, I hope you just take your Bibles, take the time, and look at these things because they're so important. The Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 39. John 7, 39. But this he spoke of the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. Now, the future tense here is the church age. Church hasn't started yet. Jesus Christ has not ascended into heaven and been glorified. So until that happens, the Holy Spirit is not universally given to receive the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. You have been given the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus Christ is glorified. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 this time. 1 Corinthians 2, one of the most important, one of those pivotal chapters in the Bible on the Spirit-filled life. If I do that series, it'll be pivotal chapters, and then we'll look at some pivotal verses, like in the Old Testament, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So we'll get hints from the Old Testament, but we'll get chapters from the New Testament. Okay, I'm just putting it together in my mind. I just thought it's pretty good. Okay, that's what we'll do. Hints of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and then chapters in the New. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit, Holy Spirit, who is from God. Now why? That we might know the things freely given to us by God. Oh, what a powerful verse. We're going to come back to that for something else later in this study. But we have been given the Spirit who is from God. God has given you the Holy Spirit, equipped you with the Holy Spirit, supplied you with the Holy Spirit, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. He has given you all these things that we're studying. And right now, like, we're on the 29th thing that God has given you, and the Holy Spirit is given so that you'll be aware of them. And if you will be know them and believe them and start living them, you'll move out of the shadows of the darkness of stress, anxiety, and depression. You'll put those things out of your life. Put them out of your life. Very few believers know all the things that have been freely given them. That's why they suffer stress, anxiety, and depression. You either don't know them or you don't believe them. Many Christians are working. Listen now. Many Christians are working and performing for things that are freely given. They're trying to earn them. They're trying to earn things from God that are freely given. Many do not even know what they are. Still others do not even value some of these things freely given. Try to find their happiness in the things of the world instead of the things freely given by God. Once you start walking in the power of the Spirit, because He's in you, then you're going to come to realize a lot of things that are freely given to you. Therefore, you don't have to suffer from stress, anxiety, and depression. Okay, another great chapter, Romans 8. Look with me at Romans chapter 8 a moment. Romans 8. However, Romans 8, 9, verse 9. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. And He does, if you have believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. So our passage says, but of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, you're not of the flesh. Now, you may live in the flesh. You're living now, and as we've seen before, that's not who you are. So you're not living in reality. You're not living in reality. You're not living, if you're not living in the Spirit, you could be living in law, or you could be living in lawlessness, both dealing with the law. Or you can live who you are in the power of the Holy Spirit. Continuing the verse. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. You have all been given by the power of God. You've been given all the power of God. So start living by that power. Let's go to another great chapter in the Bible, a good passage, Galatians. Galatians. Or chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. One of my favorite passages in the Bible, or books of the Bible, is Galatians. So let's look at Galatians chapter 4. You have been given the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 6. Galatians 4, verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Holy Spirit of His Son, the Spirit of His Son, that's the Holy Spirit, into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Third member of the Godhead resides in you. Therefore, all the power of God is that close to you. To let you know that you belong to Him. Now, very close to Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, is Galatians 3, 5. Turn back a page. Or a chapter. Galatians 3, 5. Does He then, reference to God the Father, who provides you with the Spirit, and even works miracles? Well, if we take it correctly, you have working, works is a participle, working, the word miracles is dunamai, from the word dunamai, it's power, even working power, and then the text says among you, but the preposition is in you, in you. So now let's see if we get it the way it is in the original. Does He then, God the Father, who provides and supplies you with the Spirit, even working power in you, does He do it by the works of the law or with the hearing of faith? Galatians 4, 6, here God has sent forth the Holy Spirit. He has sent forth the Holy Spirit. And so this is what He's done for us. He's given to us the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Galatians 4:6 with me a minute. Galatians 4:6, he sent forth his spirit. That's an aorist indicative. Ex apostello, to send forth, to out from, send on a mission. Galatians 3:5, if you look at both verses, look at them because they're so close together, he supplies. Galatians 4:6, sends forth. Galatians 3:5, supplies. Present active participle. It means to furnish, to supply further. So both of these words have the same idea. He sent forth the Holy Spirit to you. He supplies you with the Holy Spirit. The one word deals with he and the God, the Holy Spirit. God sends the Holy Spirit to you. The second word, supplies you, deals with God and you. God supplies you with the Holy Spirit. So it's whatever way you want to look at it. Along with all the other things that God has supplied us and given us, those riches and wonderful things he's given us, he further supplies us with the Holy Spirit, that we might know all the things he's given, that we might serve under the new covenant people, that you might have the power to come out of stress, anxiety, and depression, if you wish. Come out of sin, if you wish. The people, there's no power in confession. There's no power in repentance. There's no power in sorrow. The power to refrain from sinning, the power to walk in a manner that is pleasing to God, is in the Holy Spirit. And therefore, that's why faith in the Holy Spirit puts you into that power, so that you can walk out of that stress, anxiety, and depression that's going on inside of you. But both of these words are associated with with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in you. He sends the Holy Spirit, Galatians 4:6. He supplies you, Galatians 3:5. God has supplied you, furnished you with the Holy Spirit, so that no matter, people, what's going on in your life, and if you're suffering, probably things aren't going the way you would like in your marriage. Probably not going the way you'd like in your finances. Probably going not the way you'd like in your health, in your personal relationships with people. Something's not going right. Circumstances are not good, and you're experiencing stress, anxiety, and depression. These things are going on. I want you to understand that without changing the circumstances of your life, God can give you peace, remove the stress, anxiety, and depression, tear down these strongholds, these fortifications inside, so that you can have peace that he gives. Not as the world gives. See, how does the world give peace? The world gives peace by circumstances. That's the way the material world gives peace. Remove the hostile circumstances and you have peace. How does God give it? He doesn't have to remove anything in the world. He changes you, so that no matter what's happening, you don't have to suffer stress, anxiety, and depression. You have been supplied by God with all the inner power you need to move out of the darkness, stress, and depression in your life. Let me look back up, if you're to Romans 5 a moment. I got to show you this. Just so you'll see where you can be. Romans chapter 5, sort of a freebie, just throwing this in for you right now at this point. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts. How? Through the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. People, he gave you the Holy Spirit that you can know all these things. He's given you the Holy Spirit so that you can know his love. Know his love and abide in his love. It's by the Holy Spirit, not by your performance, not by how you feel, but if you walk by faith in the Spirit, he has given you the Spirit so that he can pour out in your heart this love. This is what he does. God, the Holy Spirit, was given to us that we might love one another and deal with ourselves even as Christ is. In hurt of stress, anxiety, and depression, you're occupied with your own need of love. Now watch this. You're occupied with your own need of love. But as you start coming out of it and start becoming who you are in Christ, you will start having this love for others, as Jesus Christ loves. And this is when you need the God, the Holy Spirit, this point. Okay? Let's go to the 30th point. Let's go to the 30th. Here's another good one for you. If you're stressed, anxiety, and depression, you're not going to think this is true. But it is true. God says it. Now you can believe what God says or what Satan says. You're not going to like this one. You're not going to believe this one. You're not going to feel this one if you're suffering. But I'm going to give it to you. You are glorified. You are glorified. I don't feel glorified. I don't live like I'm glorified. I'm unimportant. Nothing significant going on in my life. Bad things going on. Unfulfilled dreams. Unfulfilled hopes. I hurt. And yet God says you're glorified. Now I knew you'd not believe this one. So therefore you're going to have to see it in the text. So look at Romans 8. Look at Romans 8. Okay, Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he, God, foreknew, I'm not going to deal with all these words. They're all theological battles. They're all wonderful, precious things, but they're battles. For whom he foreknew, he, God, also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. That, in order that he might, he God, might be firstborn among many brethren. And, furthermore, whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Stay here with me now. I want you to note a couple of things. This is not future tense. This is not future. It doesn't say he will glorify. Oh, I know. You're waiting for when you die. And boy, I'll be glad when I die. If you're suffering from stress, anxiety, and depression, you probably thought it. But I'll be glad when I die and just get to heaven and live in that glorified state. People, that's not future tense. The predestination is not future tense. Call is not future tense. Justified is not future tense. And glorified is not. They happen to you right now. They're yours. Now, what is this glorification? Because I don't feel it. Some of you may be thinking, I don't feel it. What is this? What are you talking about? Now, almost everyone, commentaries, preachers that deal with this passage, relate this to the receiving of the resurrected body at the rapture, called the glorified body. But dear people, if you look at your text, you do not wait for this to happen. This is not something that is going to happen that is limited to something in the future when you receive a resurrected body, a glorified body, predestined, justified, glorified. All of these are yours now. You are glorified now. Oh, you don't look it, you don't feel it, but you are. And one of the reasons you don't look it and feel it is because you're not claiming what is yours by faith. And you're letting people, other Christians like Job's three friends, pull you down and take it away from you. Don't let them. Don't let them. It's Christmas time. I don't know when you'll hear these tapes. You might hear them a year from now or 6 months from now or whatever. But it's a shame about Christmas because there are a multitude of Christians, and I've already had to deal with some of this, who allow their circumstances to take enjoyment of this time. Well, I don't care about looking at the lights. I don't want to go here, and I don't want to do this. And you've let life be sucked right out from you. And I beg you, don't do that. Don't allow a day to pass that you allow your circumstances to take away from you what is yours. You are glorified now. Now, I want you to hold your place here. I want you to experience this, but I want you to understand it so that you can experience it. You're going to have to hold your place here, but turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. Just hold your place in Romans 8, but look over at 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 2. Verse 11. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. He has called you into his glory now, not in the future. Not in the future, now. What does it mean? Walk in a manner, what does that phrase, see that phrase, walk in a manner worthy of God? Oh, I know what preachers tell you, you've got to walk this moral life or learn a lot of doctrine or charismatic experience or serving God or something like this or all the commandments and all. People, my yoke is very light. What is that, walking in a manner of worthy of God? Walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. Let Him do it. Let Him do it. That's walking in the matter, in that manner. Look back at verse 11. This is what I'm trying to do for those of you that hurt. Let's get very serious with you. This is what I'm trying to do with you, those of you that hurt, stress, anxiety, and depression in this series. To exhort, to encourage, and to implore. You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be sad. You don't have to be in that state. I don't like my life. You don't have to be there. No matter what your life is, you don't have to have that attitude in you. So this is what I'm trying to do with you. Just as you know how we were exhorting, and I want to exhort you and encourage you and implore each one of you as a father would his own children. Exhort you, encourage you not to be in stress, anxiety, and depression. Verse 12, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of God. That is a matter of walking by faith. Because God has called you into His own kingdom and glory. You're called into His glory. That's what you're called into. Now let's go back to Romans 8. Hope you've held your place there. Let's look back at Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Romans 8, verse 29. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom He predestined, these He also called. And whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. In Jesus Christ, you are glorified. You are associated with the kingdom of God, the kingdom of glory. You belong to Him. And this glorification is going on in your life right now. It's going on right now. You are glorified. And if you want to experience it experientially, it's just like you are loved of God. If you want to be a benefactor of that love, you want to experience that love, then stop looking at yourself in the eyes of the flesh and by the Satan's lie. And by the basic instincts of performance. And look at yourself, who you are and what you are in Jesus Christ. And just say, I don't care what the world thinks of me. I don't care what people think of me. I am in Christ. I am in a glorified state. And let that become a reality to you. Let that become a reality to you. And it will if you walk by faith in the Spirit. The Spirit, what is He? He's inside of you calling out, Abba. Father, to let you know that's the relationship that you have. That's what I want you to have. You are glorified in Christ, associated with His kingdom and His glory right now. Now, once you start to comprehend all that you are in Christ, what does this mean in your present circumstance? What does it mean in your present circumstance? Look at verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Your husband, your wife, other Christians, seemingly the world. God is for you. Who can be against you? Do these people really matter? Can you be content? Can you be content in whatever state you're in as far as the cosmic system is concerned? In this glorified state in Jesus Christ. So the effect of all of this has on you. What then shall we say? Now let's read it all together so we get a feel here of the momentum. Let's start reading in verse 29. And we're just going to read to verse 31 so you can feel the momentum of what Paul is saying. For whom he, God, foreknew, he, God, also predestined, and it's talking about you, to become conformed to the image of his Son, and he may, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, and whom he predestined, these he also called, and whom he called, he also justified, and whom he justified, he also glorified, all these wonderful things. Therefore, what then shall we say to these things? What shall we say about all these things that you are in him? If God is for us, and we can use that sense, since God is for us, who's against us? Meaning, does it matter? Does it matter that Satan's against you? Does it matter that the world is against you? Do these things really matter? If you're glorified in Christ? People, we're going to have to get off of living, off of looking at the cosmic system and looking at the performance system and start looking at it from God's perspective of these some 30 things that we have looked at. Okay, this brings us to the 31st one. Brings us to the 31st one. This is powerful. I'm struggling right now whether I want to even start this one, because I won't get very far and come back and kind of take it back in and just give you a little bit, but then we'll close it. But when Christians suffer stress, anxiety, and depression, there's a sense, I think I will so that you can be thinking about it. Some of you won't have to. This is where you live. There's a sense of incompleteness. Incompleteness. Life just isn't complete. This is not what I had dreamed. This is not what I had hoped. This is not what I intended. But not only is life not there, inside themselves is a sense that all is not complete. There's something wrong. Something missing. It just doesn't make sense. It's not meaningful. Or as it is professionally noted out of some of the things that I've been reading over the last couple of years, what the flesh mind, not the spirit, but the flesh mind needs a sense of coherence. This is what is professionally called by the pros. A sense of coherence. As long as whatever's going on in your life makes sense, people are more stable and more able to handle a lot of things than when your life is incoherent. They did studies in this one that I read. They marveled at studying in World War II men and women in concentration camps and with people just in normal life who were having adversities and problems in normal life. And many of the people, and I'm talking about a great percentage, and I'm not even going to try to remember what they were, percentage of the people who were in a lot of the concentration camps over a year and brutally treated and all were much more stable than a lot of people who just suffer a lot of problems and disasters and calamities and things happening and unfulfilled things in their normal life. And after a long period of study, what they found out was that the people who were in the concentration camp, it made sense to them what was happening to them. It made sense that the enemy had confined them in this camp, in this prison or whatever it was, and it was part of the war, and they made the best of the situation. Whereas you take someone who lives in an environment of freedom and things are just going wrong, it doesn't make sense why everything's going wrong in my life. It doesn't make sense why this is happening and this is happening, and it just causes such great confusion and hurt inside. It's just not right. It's not complete. It's not coherent. It's what happens to a lot of Christians. You get in your mind the way things ought to be. We'll see this with Job. I'm going to use this with Job. It just didn't make sense. This is not coherent. I can make things understandable if you're good, good things happen. You're bad, bad things happen. If I'm bad and bad things happen, that makes sense. I can handle that. But here I am, I'm trying to live the Christian life, and bad things are happening. It's incoherent. It doesn't make sense. And that's when we get all tormented up inside. It's just not complete. And then what happens at this point is the search starts. This is when Christians, that's who we're talking about, start this great search. Search to find the completeness. Find what makes me complete. This leads to despair. The journey goes from this sense of incompleteness and often involves divorce, affairs, or if you're single, marry the wrong person, withdrawing from life. Sometimes inordinate obsession with work. And sometimes that inordinate obsession with work is accompanied by success, but the success does not fill the incompleteness. Sometimes the inordinate obsession with work does not end in success and intensifies the incompleteness. Sometimes people try to find it in their family and it doesn't. Sometimes the search leads to drugs and alcohol, bad marriages, all these kinds of things, trying to take care of this sense of incompleteness. To hurt. Something's not complete in the soul. Well, I want to tell you something we'll look at next week. Well, we're off next week. But then the following week we'll get, well, a couple of weeks we'll be back. And eventually we'll be back here eventually. And since it'll be a while, now you that listen to it from one tape to the next, you won't realize there's a couple of weeks. And when I do this, you'll say, well, he just said that. But the people here will not have heard it for about two. Well, they won't have heard it until last year when we do this again. It'll be next year. So they will not have heard it since last year. But I do want you to see where I'm going with this and what God has done for you. Look at Colossians 2:9 in closing tonight. Colossians 2:9. Oh, if you'll only understand this and believe it. For Colossians 2:9, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Verse 10, and in him, Jesus Christ, you have been made complete. People, there's nothing incomplete about you. And don't let anybody tell you that. When you live in sin, live in the flesh, yes, get back into the Spirit, there's nothing incomplete about you. You are complete in him. And that's where I want us to be. Okay, let's close here, and this is where we'll begin next time. And so let's have a word of prayer. What an awesome God you are, Heavenly Father, that you have provided so many things, and you have supplied for us richly and freely the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the sealing of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, that all these things may become a reality in our lives. We praise you for the God that you are. I pray, Father, that believers that are struggling, that your Spirit will make these realities so true to them. They'll just stop and rest. Stop living by the standards of the world and measurements of the world and the cosmic system, traditions of man, basic instincts, and start just walking in the Spirit and being content with what you bring. Life doesn't have to be difficult. I pray that you'll take these tapes, these messages, and get them into the souls of those who will listen and who hurt. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.